Chapter 10. I swept the beetle for bombs again and got the impression that I was going to get heartily sick of the chore fast. It was clean, and off we went. I parked illegally on a street about a block from Anna Ash's apartment and walked the rest of the way in. I rang buzzers more or less at random until someone buzzed me in and headed back up the stairs to Anna's apartment. This time, though, I went in armed for bear. As I rode up in the elevator, I got out my jar of unguent, a dark brown concoction that stained the skin for a couple of days. I dabbed a finger in it and smeared it lightly onto my eyelids and at the base of my eyes. It was an ointment originally intended to counter fairy glamour, allowing those who had it to see through illusion to reality. It wasn't quite right for seeing through a veil wrought with mortal magic, but it should be strong enough to show me something of whatever the veil was hiding. I should be able to glimpse any motion, and that would at least give me an idea of which way to face if things got dicey. I brought Mouse for a reason, too. Besides being a small mountain of loyal muscle and ferocious fangs, Mouse could sense bad guys and dark magic when they were nearby. I had yet to encounter the creature that could sneak by Mouse unobserved, but just in case today was the day, I had the unguent as a backup plan. I got off the elevator, and the hairs on the back of my neck immediately rose up. Mouse lifted his head sharply, looking back and forth down the hall. He'd felt what I had. A fine cloud of magic hung over the entire floor. I touched it carefully and found a suggestion of sleep, one of the classics, really. This one wasn't heavy as such things go. I'd seen one sleep spell that flattened an entire ward of Cook County Hospital. I'd used another to protect Murphy's sanity, and it had kept her out for nearly 2 days. This one wasn't like that. It was light, barely noticeable, and not at all threatening. It was delicate and fine enough to filter into homes, even through their thresholds, most of which were weak enough. Apartments never seemed to have as much defense as a real, discreet home. If those other spells had been sleep medication, this one would have been a glass of warm milk. Someone wanted the residents of the floor to be insensible enough not to notice something, but not so out as to be endangered should there be an emergency, like the building catching fire and burning down. Don't look at me like that. It's a lot likelier than you'd think. Anyway, the suggestion was another finely crafted spell. Delicate, precise, subtle, much like the earlier veil Lashiel had spotted. Whoever or whatever was crafting these workings was a pro. I made sure my shield bracelet was ready to go and marched up to Anna's door. I could sense the ward there, still active, so I thumped my staff on the floor immediately in front of the door. "Ms. Ash," I called. It wasn't like I was going to wake anyone up. "It's Harry Dresden. We need to talk." There was silence. I repeated myself. I heard a sound, that of someone striving to move silently. A scuff or a creak so faint that I wasn't sure it had been real. I checked Mouse. His ears were pricked up, swiveled forward. He'd heard it too. Someone flushed a toilet on the floor above us. I heard a door open and close, a faint sound, also on another floor. There was no further sound from Anna Ash's apartment. I didn't like where this was going at all. "Stand back, buddy," I told Mouse. He did, backing away in that clumsy reverse waddle walk dogs do. I turned to the ward. It was like a little pig's straw house. It wouldn't last more than a second or two against a big bad wolf. "And all huff and all puff," I muttered. I drew up my will, took the staff in both hands, and pressed one end slowly toward the door.
"Solvos," I murmured. "Solvos. Solvos."
As the staff touched the door, I sent a gentle surge of will coursing down through its length. It passed through the wood visibly, the carved runes in it briefly illuminated from within by pale blue light. My will hit Anna's door and scattered out in a cloud of pinprick sparkles of white light as my power unbound the patterns of the ward and reduced them to mere anarchy.
"Anna," I called again. "Ms. Ash."
No answer. I tried the doorknob. It was unlocked. "That can't be good," I told Mouse. "Here we go. I quietly opened the door, giving it a gentle push so that it would swing wide and let me see inside the darkened apartment. At which point, the trap sprang. For traps to work, though, they need to catch their target off his guard. I had my new and improved shield bracelet ready when greenish light flashed in the dark apartment and rushed swiftly toward me. I lifted my left hand. Bound around my wrist was a chain made of braided strands of several metals, silver predominant. The metal shields that hung from the bracelet had, in its previous incarnation, been solid silver as well. They had been replaced with shields of silver, iron, copper, nickel, and brass.